Amen. God is good today, isn't He? He really is. If you don't know, we have an exciting service today because we have a water baptism. Amen. Isn't that exciting? It's cold outside, but we're still having a water baptism. Amen. We can do it. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus, if you find Him in 10 minutes, you're welcome to get baptized. We're going to ask the Lord to work on your life and save you. Listen, if you know Him as your Savior, I pray that you would grow in knowledge of Him like you've never grown before. And I'm going to do my best to preach a full-blown message like Alvin and the Chipmunks. We'll see how we go today. I didn't want to cut this down because I think this goes very well with water baptism. What is water baptism? It's the inward sign of an outward sign of an inward grace. Water baptism says that Jesus changed me, therefore I will obey Him and be baptized. It's the picture of when we're baptized, like the water, for instance, is kind of like a grave, if you will, is the picture. Although I promise I won't hold you down and it won't be your grave. You'll swear to that, right? So the symbolism is this. As you go down in the water, it's like you're associating yourself with the death of Jesus. And when you come up out of the water, just like Jesus came out of the tomb, you're associating yourself with the life of Jesus. We do it publicly because that tells the world you're now a believer. It tells everybody that Jesus has done something inside of you. Water baptism is also the first thing we should do as a Christian. What should be our list of priorities? Get saved, and then what? What comes after? Ask Jesus to forgive you. Water baptism, right, is to get baptized. It's to ask, to show Jesus that we'll be obedient to Him and to show the world what He's done for us. We need to do that. So I'm excited. Today we're going to continue on with this series that I've entitled it Mind Shift. Mind Shift. And here's the deal. If you remember me saying this last week, when we received Jesus, guess what? Something has happened. Right? You are not the same as you were before. When we receive Christ, something drastically happens. You are a new person. You are completely changed. You have a new destination. Your ticket for life is no longer stamped hell, it's stamped heaven. You have a new destination. Last week, we shared some truths, and we're going to quickly highlight those. Before we do that, I'm going to show you the verse that we're basing everything on. For today only, all of your verses are on the screen. You're lucky. So, yeah, whew, that's good. Today you can be lazy because of time. Next week you're looking yourself on purpose. But let's read this together. Don't copy the behavior. Let's read this together. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Big verse, important verse. Listen, God wants to change the way you think. Romans 12:2, we just look at it, says, stop copying the world. Stop copying the world, right? What did I just say? Stop copying the world. I'm trying hard, man, to preach in 10 minutes. We're going to get through this. I just want to go, you know, for like an hour and a half. But let's get this. Stop copying the world, right? Why? Because we're different. It says, let God transform us by changing the way we think. Let God transform us. What's the picture here? The picture is Jesus changed us. He saved us. And God wants to say, He wants to change the way we think. And what do we need to do? We need to let Him do that. Some
something is really weird with my mic today. I'm just going to move it down, Bob. There we go. We need to let him do that, right? He wants to change us. We need to stop fighting him, and we need to get into his word and let him change us. That last verse is, don't think you're better than you really are. Don't think you're all that, okay? Because you're not all that. Am I all that? No, you're not all that either. Don't walk around with pride and say, God changed me, so therefore I'm better than you and I'm better than you. No, that's not true. We're not proud Christians, because proud Christians are kind of weird Christians, and they might not be Christians, because the devil's sin was what? Pride. And he got cast out of heaven. When you're a proud Christian, you might be more like the devil than you are like Jesus. Be careful. Right? Listen, don't think you're better than you really are. We're Christians saved by grace. But listen, also, be honest with your evaluation of yourselves. Be honest. I don't want you to also think you're worse than you are. Jesus changed you. He's at work in your life, and you need to stop thinking you're super, super, super great, but you need to stop thinking you're trash and you're the gutter of the earth and nobody loves you. You need to stop that as well. We need to get to the place where we see things almost sounds weird to say, but almost like we're looking at Jesus in the eye and we're kind of understanding who we are in Him. Do you know what I mean? Like, He looks at us, and so many times some of us, we're just so proud that we'll never bow a knee to Jesus, which I think is utterly ridiculous because He's God. And yet some of us, we grovel all the time as if we're the complete worthless things in the world, and Jesus called us friends. Right? He said we're His friends. And we're children of God, and He loves us. We need to get to a place where we're honest, where we really see ourselves the way the Bible tells us that we are. How do we become a Christian? This is important. You have some blanks on your paper. We had these last week, but we have them again because it's good to get this in your mind. How do we become a Christian? You admit you're a sinner and you ask for forgiveness, okay? If you're too proud to admit that you're a sinner, 1 John 1, chapter 8, I think it says, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Okay, if you say you don't have any sin, it's just ridiculous. You know you have sin. Anybody ever not do anything wrong? Anybody? Anybody perfect today? Because if you're married, I can just look at your spouse and they can tell me whether or not that's true. We have to admit that we have a problem. Here's the truth. God knows you have a problem. All it is manning up. It's just being honest. It's just like, God, you see me as I am. And I own up to my mistakes. And stop making excuses for them. Stop saying I'm sinful because my mom was sinful, or I'm sinful because I didn't have a dad, or whatever that is. We need to stop and we need to say, God, I'm just being real. I knew better. And I chose to disobey you. Maybe my childhood wasn't the best, but I knew better. And I take responsibility. I admit that I'm a sinner. But B, you believe on the death and resurrection of Jesus. But Jesus, I know that you lived a perfect life and you died on the cross for my sin and you rose again to show the world that you're victorious and to give a picture of what we're going to be like in heaven one day. Because of your death and resurrection, I see we confess our sins and we commit our lives to Him. Do you get that? We own up, we admit our sins. We believe on Jesus' death and resurrection, and we ask us to forgive us of our sins and commit our lives to Him. This is repentance. That's really the big word. It means, and this is important to become a Christian. Okay? Being a Christian isn't somebody who just believes in Jesus, because there would be a lot of people who are going to heaven that really aren't going to heaven. It's not just believing Jesus was a guy that walked around and he was a good teacher. That's not being a Christian. Being a Christian is not just feeling sorry for your sins either. Being a Christian is that we're so sorry for our sins, and we know that Jesus changed us, that we choose to follow Him with a changed life. Do you see that? We repent, okay? And I use this analogy a lot. If I go home and I always beat my wife up all the time, I cannot go to Jesus and say, I'm sorry for beating her up. But I know you walked around and then go home and beat her up again. Do you see that? That's being a hypocrite. We ask Him to forgive us, and I commit to live a life of repentance. I walk the other way. Now, I understand how habitual sin works. I understand that we can choose to live for Jesus, and yet, as we're starting to walk in the new life, we stumble and we fall. When we do that, we need to immediately call out to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness and start all over again. And choose, Lord Jesus, by Your strength, I want to repent and never do that again. And we need to go to those people who we hurt, right? Right? And start over again. What I'm saying is if other people act like they're Christians and they continually sin and there's no life of repentance, that's terrible. And there will come a time where if they're not careful, the Holy Spirit will stop convicting them of their sin and they'll end up being more like Pharaoh in Egypt than they will be Jesus. We need to be careful, right? We admit that we're a sinner. We believe in Christ and we do our best to walk towards Him. Will you stumble and fall? Probably. And then what? We come to Jesus and ask His forgiveness and we move again. But do you see this repentant lifestyle? This heart to change and be different? And when we stumble, we repent and we come back. Do you see that today? Anybody? You guys can really help me out. Are we still alive? We here? Okay. Is it clear as mud? Okay. So we need to follow after God. Super quick review of who we were in Christ last week. The message is online. The Bible tells us that we're declared righteous. That when we receive Jesus, we are declared righteous like we've never sinned before. The second one, we're free of condemnation. This is a huge one. If you want the verse, it's here, but look at it. Listen to it online from last week. If you don't have the internet, we can burn you a CD of it before we leave today. But there's no longer any condemnation in Christ. The third one, we're set free from the power of sin. This is huge. Because you cannot live a life without continually sinning apart from Jesus. Through Jesus, we're set free from that. If you remember, I said it's like we were bound in chin and sin, and Jesus broke the lock and we're able to live for Him. The fourth thing was we're made holy. That we become part of God's team. That it's not that we just stop sinning, but we become part of God's team. We get a whole new team to play for. That God saved us from our sins. He didn't just say, stop sinning. He said, live the new life. And that's a good life. And it's an awesome life. Moving on. Let me get a drink of water and we're going to roll with today's. Anybody ready? All right, we need to wake up. Are we here today? Wow. I'm trying to give you the best, shortest message ever. Help me out. And then I'm getting in cold water for the Lord. All right. What else changed in our life? Remember the picture that I said was kind of like if you get a new computer and you put in some new parts and you turn it on, the computer might not know it even has new parts until you put the disc in and tell it. Okay? And I said, if you have a new car or an old car and you put a new motor in it, from the outside it looks the same, but we know that car is drastically different. It's got a new engine in it. It's souped up. It's ready to go. In the same way, when we receive Christ, sometimes we don't look like too much has changed. But you have new parts inside. You have the Holy Spirit within you, part of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's within you. Something drastically has changed. So we're going to talk quickly about four things that have changed. Here's the verse right now for this first one we're looking at. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Let me unpack this for you. We all belong to Adam. What does that mean? That means Adam sinned in the garden. Eve sinned. Side note. Who was the first one to eat the apple? What's that? Eve, right? It was Eve. It says Adam. What's my point? My point is, men, you're in charge for your families. God held Adam as the one He went to. Why did you do this? Side note. Men, husband, if you're a husband, you're a father, we need to take that seriously. Because God's going to come to you and say, why is your family in sin? Little side note. He went to the man. Okay. We all belong to Adam. That means we inherited this sinful nature because he sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. Then they had Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother, right? Sin is passed on through the line of Adam. We all have sin within us. We just do. We've already talked about that. We all do stuff wrong. Everyone who belongs to Christ, though, is different. You will be given new life. Here's your blanks. I have new life. You have a new life in Christ. Listen, as I said earlier, your ticket was stamped lost. Like lost baggage on an airport. You were destined because you were separated from God. You were destined for hell simply from the fact that you were lost. And you can say that's not fair, but we know, we've already talked about it. You proved every day how fair it is because you continually sin. You can't say it's not fair. It's fair because you prove it every day that you were lost, that you have Adam's sin within you. And you continually sin knowing that. When we receive Christ, it's like we become part of the new family. Great picture. You have your family tree. We all stem from Adam and Eve, right? Adam gets the rep for it. It's Adam's fault. What happens is when we receive Christ, we're transplanted from that tree and we're put under the new tree that says Jesus. The Bible calls him the second Adam, the new start, and we get new life. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome today? So over here, if we don't know the Lord, under Adam, listen, your future is hell forever. Jesus described it very vividly, weeping, gnashing of teeth, right? The fire burns forever, the fire's not quenched, the worms die not. Bad place. Bad place. When we accept Christ, we get transplanted. He saves us. That's why we use the word saves. Saves us from hell and gives us new life in heaven. And it's awesome. It's awesome. You have a new destination. Your ticket says claimed. It wasn't lost baggage. It was claimed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Your future is to go to heaven. To be with Him. To get to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in person. To get to see the Apostle Paul. To get to see your loved ones who died in Christ. You get to hug them again. Isn't that awesome news? We'll have a church barbecue in heaven. And it's going to be huge. Because the church is huge. You know who else you get to see? Jesus. And He doesn't have to because He's King. But wouldn't it be cool if we got to heaven and the first person to hug us was Jesus? He loves us so much. That is cool. We need to realize every day as we walk through this life, wait, I have new life. The world might not think I'm different. Whew, I'm different. I have new life. That is awesome. Moving on, the second verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Didn't you like new starts? Anybody? September, like you go back to school, you have a whole new school year. What I liked about that was you weren't hanging on to the old D's that you got last year. You're clean. Anybody ever excited about that? Yes. This year I'm going to do my homework every day. Yeah, anybody actually do their homework every day? Not me. Okay. New starts are good. How about when you get a new car? Or at least it's new to you, and you get it, and you know it's been taken care of, and you think, this time I'm really going to change my oil. And it'll last me forever, right? Anybody? And then you don't, anybody raise your hand for not changing your oil as good as you should? Yeah. Now if you look around the room, they're the people to not buy a car from, see? I just helped you out. That's why I didn't raise my hand. New starts are awesome. Listen, if you belong to Christ, you receive Jesus, you're a new person. That's your blank. You are a new person. You are clean. Isn't that good? You're brand new. I like being new. I like being new. Anybody else? Listen, you just start all over again. That's what water baptism is. It's a symbol of what God's done. He's made you new. He's washed you clean. All the other stuff that was there, it's gone. You're starting out fresh as can be. We like to hold little babies and see them in the hospitals because look, it's new, it's precious, it's innocent, we'll say. When we're new in Christ, we're even more clean than that baby. That is awesome. That is awesome, isn't it? If other people don't see it in you, listen. I want you to know you're true. That you're clean. You're brand new. Brand new. God's washed you. He's cleansed you. Moving on. Colossians 2:10. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Your blank is, I am complete. I am complete. I hate building puzzles. I just do. I would rather buy the poster than the puzzle. Like, why did he take a perfectly good picture and hack it up and throw it in a box? I have no idea. Just leave it alone. I'll buy it that way. It's just the way I go. My wife loves puzzles. I don't. It's just my personal thing. Part of the reason why I would hate to build the whole puzzle and be missing a piece at the end. Anybody ever think of that? That's how my mind works. I'm like, I'm going to stay here for 4 hours, and when I get done, I'm going to be missing a piece anyway. So I don't like that. Here's the deal. Listen, for you in Christ, sometimes you may think you're missing something. Listen, you may beat yourself up and feel like that old flea market puzzle that's missing pieces and that nobody wants. I want you to know that you are complete in Christ. Amen. Do you hear that today? You are complete. What is the definition of complete? Missing nothing. You're whole. Right? In fact, that's what the word peace means, is that we're whole, that we're complete, that God just reigns over us and brings it all together in a way that's just good. You're not missing anything. Through Christ, you're not lacking anything. Why is this important? For one, if you suffer with depression issues and you want to tell yourself, I'm no good, I stink, I'm worthless, I'm not able to do my job, I'm not able to be a good dad or not able to be a good mom or husband or wife or whatever the story is, that's a lie from hell. Because the Bible says through Christ you're complete. He gives you everything you need. You're able to do anything He wants you to do. You are not lacking anything. You are complete. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who's the head over every ruler and authority. Who says you're complete? Jesus. Why? Because you're in union with Him and He is the boss. In the Jim Bradford version, this last part will probably say, you're complete through your union with Christ. Who's in charge? He's head of everything. If the man who is the head of everything, God Himself, says you're complete, stop saying you're incomplete. Stop saying, if only I could do this and then I would be better. You're complete in Christ. Stop feeling like you're lacking something. This world wants you to think if you're too fat, you're too thin, too old, too young, right? The perfect age is 21 so you can get drunk, right? That's a lie. Not true. Don't think you're lacking something. You're not. It wants you to run in circles trying to find something. You could see all the women's magazines at the supermarket. If only you had a better sex life, everything would be good. If only you had better face cream. If only you could have Jessica Simpson's complexion. Lord knows you don't want her morals. Right? Whatever it is, for men, you want the bikini girl, but you want the car, you need the faster computer, you need a better video game system, right? You need this, you need that, you need a better job, blah, blah, blah. Listen, you're complete in Christ. We need to be content with who we are in Jesus. Amen? Last one we're looking at today, Ephesians 2:10. This one's awesome. Oh my gosh, let's wait. You ever go to a museum and you see this beautiful piece of art? Right? Anybody ever go to like the Philly Art Museum or any other museum? Be honest with you, I didn't like half the stuff in the art museum of Philly. I wonder how it got there. But every now and then you'll find just the most beautiful work of art, and it's stunning. And it's worth all kinds of money. Right? When we go down to Ocean City, Jackson Mall, anybody ever walk the Jackson Street Mall in Ocean City? You have the Thomas Kincaid shop on the second floor. Whew. They're always like, can we help you? No, but we're just looking. Hey, this one's nice, only $15,000 on sale. Yeah, that's okay. We're just looking. And we walk through because it's like a free museum. It's kind of nice. I know I'm not buying anything. But it's beautiful. This is cool. Ready? For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. How do you like that word? Don't that just give you chills? You are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece, right? Right? Hallelujah. What this means is if you go to God's house, picture this. What's on the wall? Your picture. And it's priceless. That is awesome. Don't think you're trash. God doesn't make trash. Don't think you're junk. God doesn't make junk. Your picture, no, your portrait, your painting is on His wall. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A masterpiece has its value in what it's worth. Right? You get a nice original Leonardo da Vinci, worth a lot of money, right? Original Michelangelo, worth a lot of money. They won't even let me in that museum. That's how much money it is. I can't even go look at it. I gotta look Google Images to find it. Listen. God spent a lot of money for your portrait. In fact, money wasn't enough. The currency He used was His blood. Of His only Son. To redeem you from the garbage pit on fire known as hell. He redeemed you. He cleaned you up. And He hung you on His wall. Your portrait is on His wall. And He stands back and He says, that's My masterpiece. And He's awaiting the day that we get to go be with Him in heaven. How awesome is that? You are God's masterpiece. That's your last blank. I am God's masterpiece. Tell me this isn't a shift in our thinking. This is a shift. You need to stop thinking of yourself as garbage. You are not garbage. You are a child of God, bought with His blood, redeemed, changed. You are His masterpiece. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. You wrote these down. We did this last week and we're going to do this again before we close. We need to get these in our heart. We need to recite these until they become a part of who we are. So get your papers ready. And I want you to repeat after me, okay? Let's get these in our heart. In Christ, I have new life. Let's do this together. Ready? In Christ, I have new life. In Christ, I have new life. We know the words. Now think about it. As we say this, we have to shift our mind to lining up with what the Word of God says. In Christ, I have new life. And to that I say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm changed. In Christ, I'm a new person. Let's do this. Ready? In Christ, I am a new person. In Christ, I am a new person. In Christ, I am a new person. You're brand new. In Christ, you're complete. Too many times we say, I'm not all together. I don't have it all together. Don't we say that? If only I can do this, if only I could do that, if only I could make more money, if only my kids would be better, if only I could get my spouse to cooperate or show up once in a while or whatever. Listen, you're complete and you have all you need in Christ. If the world rejects you, they rejected Jesus, we'll move on. You're complete. Let's do that. In Christ, I am complete. In Christ, I am complete. In Christ, I am complete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Last one, God's masterpiece. Oh, I love this. Stop treating yourself like junk. You're not junk. You're not junk. Let's do this. In Christ, I am God's masterpiece. In Christ, I am God's masterpiece. In Christ, I am God's masterpiece. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can anybody say praise the Lord from that? Can we do that today? Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We thank you, Lord, for changing us, for making us new. Lord, I pray that we would walk in you every day. Lord, we're sorry, God, for going through life thinking we're not any different than the world. We only go to church. That's not true. You've changed us. You've made us drastically different. And we thank you for that, God. Help us to live in the hope that we have that the world would actually look at us and see that we're different. Lord, help us to stop trying to be more like them. Help us to live the way you want. And I pray that they would want to be more like us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if you don't know Him, you need to know Him. You need to ask Him to forgive you. He wants to do that right now. God has His paintbrush ready to put your picture on His wall. But if you reject Him, there's no hope for you. The hope comes only through Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, you need to know Him today.